Welcome to ComputerWeekly.com podcasts, where you can listen to and download interviews with leading experts on key topics of IT management and technology. Today's podcast features Pfizer, which is rolling out wide area network optimization technology for a series of 30-day trials across sites in India, Costa Rica, South Africa, Romania, and the US. The number of users at these sites range from 75 to 10,000. Feedback from end users has been key. Hello, this is Cliff Sarin, and in this podcast, from a presentation at the Burton Group Catalyst Conference in October, Ron Rapp, Associate Director in Pfizer's Worldwide Technology Engineering Division, discusses the approach the company has taken.
Okay, so actually, this is our second presentation to Burton Group. I need to tell you a little bit about how technology gets introduced into Pfizer, and to do that, I probably need to tell you a little bit about the organization. So Worldwide Technology, which is the umbrella organization which Worldwide Technology Engineering sits in, has a number of pieces to it. It's got a number of groups that are aligned to the business in terms of their IT, so an R&D IT group, there's a manufacturing and sales IT group, and we basically in a piece that is shared services. So we've got a Worldwide Technology Infrastructure group, which is like the run piece, the operations piece, and we've got Worldwide Technology Engineering, which is the piece that I'm in. And we have the concept of service owners. So many of the major service owners live in WTI, and they're responsible for broad areas of technology like application hosting or the network. So when we find the technology, and there's a lot of technologies out there, it's really got to align to some business requirement. So I think the days are gone now where you just try stuff and then try and find, you know, a business requirement that fits that technology. It really has to align to what the business wants or they're trying to achieve. So once we've identified that, we really need to get the service owner to agree that, you know, we should take it from there into some sort of proof of concept. So we would go and get approval for that at the Joint Shared Services Leadership Team, which is the leadership team for WTE and WTI. And we would present a case that says, this is the interest in technology, this is where it meets the business requirements, and we'd like funding or resources to progress this. And that's what we did with this particular technology. So they asked us to go off, put it in a lab, do some real testing, and that's what we did. And we'll present some of that here today. And then the next step after that, you know, if we get good results in the lab, because, you know, so a lot of PowerPoint out there from vendors, and it's all great, isn't it? All works perfectly well. There's no implementation problems. It does 100% of what it said on the tin. And you take it in a lab, and it's never quite like that, is it? It's always like, well, it sort of works, but you really have to get up early and practice, you know, sometimes, or it just plain doesn't work. So we did that, and we got some interesting results. I will tell you now, it was a mixed team. We had not only networking folks, we had people that were deep messaging expertise, we had people who were deep grid experts that came along and did some of this testing with us. And we were surprised. Obviously, when we get past the pilot, you know, and we get good results there, we then got to turn it into a service. And that's a piece of magic that, you know, has to happen. So how do you turn a bunch of cables and wires and stuff from a vendor into some service that you can deliver anywhere in the world, wherever your customers want it, manage it, run it 7x24, keep it monitored when there's a problem? You know, how does WAN optimization, if it fails, affect the way applications work? How's that going to get reported into the NOC? How are you going to diagnose? So that next step is a major one. I don't want to, like, you know, today we've jumped a small canyon. We may have to jump the Grand Canyon at some point in time to get to that thing that's service. As I say, it's work in progress. This really is happening now. Okay, so back in June, we did this this bake-off with three of the best vendors we selected. We actually had 10 vendors in all. So, you know, that's quite a lot of work. We went out to an RFI. There's a lot of work in doing those RFIs and RFPs, but I think you have to do them because there is just so many vendors claiming so many things that sometimes you have to get them to write it down formally and tender it in so your teams can take it apart, especially with a multifunctional team. You know, if it was just a networks group, And the networks know the networks, they know the major vendors, and they know who they're comfortable with, they know the names they're going to go to. With this technology, you know, we went out to service providers as well as some of the vendors that actually make the technology themselves. There are some historical basis for this. This isn't the first time that Pfizer has looked at WAN optimization. So back in 2003, we looked at some products then. And the whole rationale behind the business driver then was, you know, could we save WAN bandwidth? You know, could we actually save real money on committed information rates on our MPLS circuits or our frame relay circuits? And we looked at it, and the best site that we tested against then, we got a 50% reduction. So it wasn't great. It wasn't. If we got that everywhere, we would have been maybe possibly moved into a service, but we got it only in one site. And we went to that site and said, great, we can reduce your pipe by 50%. They said, no, don't do that. I got 50% more things I want to do now. So there was no case for going forward. We couldn't reduce the bandwidth. They wouldn't let us. So we stopped. But, you know, things moved on. And in 2006, we took another look at this. And we had some new business drivers. We had consolidation. Consolidation is a big theme. There's a lot going on. A lot of applications are being pushed into places remote from their users. You know, there's increasing distance now between some of our users. We have, you know, communities of usage that are even outside our own corporate networks. And so, you know, there's some challenges with latency and issues. And we had some pain points. You know, the particular pain points we had were things like email, file and print, storage, desktop software distribution, and some of the enterprise applications. So we, you know, big finance applications, the HR applications, purchasing, you know, these things were going global, reaching more users, becoming part of their daily routine. And these applications weren't performing as well as they were when they were in just like the US data center just serving the US community. Yeah. So we looked at 10, and I think it was the fourth quarter of 2006. We went from 10 vendors and we selected three based on their input, and then we went into a lab with those three vendors and we actually selected a single vendor to pilot with. And given the complexity of piloting, you may think, you know, lab testing was pretty tough with three. I think piloting with more than one would be an absolute nightmare. I can't even go to that level of complexity to even think about it. Okay, so the market has matured. You know, if you haven't looked at optimization for a while, you know, you should take another look. There's been a lot of consolidation. You may be very surprised by the results you get now compared with maybe some of the vendors, you know, back in 2003. I'm not here to endorse a particular product. I'm here to say, you know, you can't do this unless you understand your environment. You won't understand your environment until you go through all the steps to find out what you're going to optimize, how you're going to optimize it. Go out to an RFI, get the vendors in, do an RFP if you need to, then go in a lab and do some real testing with your applications and prove it actually works for you. It's the only way. You cannot short circuit this. You'll just get into trouble. Okay, so you can see the speed performance here. I mean, you know, we had people that just didn't believe these results. I mean, some of the people that are actually performing the tests in the lab say, sorry, can I do that again? It just seemed too quick. We were getting near LAN performance on some of the testing compared with, you know, the delay we would normally see. So we simulated a wide area site. I think it was what size pipe was it, 1 meg? Yeah, and about 150 milliseconds latency, which we chose to be around about the average of what was out there. So that's what we did, but you can't do a pilot on the whole of your enterprise network. You have to choose some places and you have to prove it works, okay? So what we've got here is R&D, we've got manufacturing, we've got sales, we've got finance. And what else have we got? We've got different numbers of users on these sites. So we've got some very small sites here, and we've got some very large sites, which is kind of key. And I think you know, when you're doing a project, I think you need to pilot at your different scales in your organization. You know, In our enterprise, quite often, people go and they test new technologies and they put it in the biggest sites with the most resources and the best support, and it all works really well. And then they try and they go to Uzbekistan and they try to do it there, and it doesn't work quite as well. Okay, I think with a pilot, you really have to choose sites that are representative of your organization. Because to be fair, you know, some of the smaller sites are the people that are going to benefit most from this technology. So it's really key that it does work there and we can support them and we can turn it into a service. Okay, so another thing is lots of different feeds and speeds and WAN technologies here. So, you know, we've got small links, we've got some very large links. So we needed to some measures of success. It's all right doing a pilot and you get there and you finish it. God, that was hard work. We've done it. Yeah. Was it success? I don't know. What would success look like? Yeah, I think it was. So we tried to establish what actually would success look like so that when we finish the pilot, we know we got there. So one thing we've been looking at is AppDex, and I'm going to spend a couple of slides trying to explain AppDex to you in a few minutes. I won't go into it too much now. We've got a survey that we went through, and Chris has got some early results from that. And I guess what we're after is a wow factor. What would be really good is, I think in one example of some people that implemented this technology, their service desk started to get calls saying, "What have you done to my application?" You know, "Well, what do you mean? Well, it works. It works really fast. What's going on? What have you IT guys done? You know, you've broken my application. You made it work really well. What's happening?" So that's maybe the sort of wow factor we're after. We get that sort of wow factor. The users actually notice we've done something that's actually made their applications and they've made them more productive. That is one of our major measures of success. And we want to be, you know, we want to get a really good feel for that rather than just hearsay. So AppDex is a way for us to actually measure that wow factor. And, you know, the performance modeling on these critical apps as well, we need to demonstrate visibly that we actually have reduced some of those transaction times. We're going to look at the profile of the WAN bandwidth utilization. You know, are we using less WAN bandwidth? Yeah. Because that could be a large piece of the business case. So AppDex is like an industry-wide approach. And in a nutshell, it's based on user application experience. And it's grouped into like three performance zones: satisfied, tolerating, and frustrated. Okay, and these three zones, they have two thresholds that characterize them. So you have from 0 to T, which is a satisfied zone. And then the tolerating zone is from T to F. And then beyond F to infinity and beyond, you have the frustrated zones, okay? So T is selected on the basis of a perceived satisfactory response. So you can probably get this from application modeling. And what we're trying to do in the survey is we're trying to get some mean opinion scores in terms of, you know, those. So the language we used in the survey is lined up with the language we're using in AppDex. You know, would you describe it as frustrating? You know, are you satisfied? You know, do you tolerate the performance? We're using those words because we want to see subjectively, you know, what they come back with based on their current performance. What we really want to do is we want to get a measure for this before and after. And if that number goes up, then we know we've quantitatively improved the performance of the applications. At the end of the day, we've got to have a business case. Business case has got to say, we can now support these users on these applications and they're more productive, and you know, we don't need to put so much bandwidth. We can cost avoid upgrading the bandwidth in most of the sites for the next 2 years, and that money will then be used to pay for the new service. Yeah, that's the sort of business case we're trying to create.
Thank you, Ron, and thank you for listening. Please join me again on www.computerweekly.com/podcasts.